Welcome to the Premium Way podcast, a space where premium is not reduced to aesthetics or price tags, but understood as identity, as a way of life. In here, we operate at the intersection of psychology, perception, strategy, leadership, and the invisible signals that decide who gets chosen, trusted, and remembered. Our philosophy? Ditch the stereotypes. Ditch the idea that premium has only one face. Premium was never meant to be sterile. It was meant to be rich in character, reflective of your true core and your dream buyer's deepest desires. Like the finest wine, layered, complex, unique, unmistakable to those who know what they are tasting. Refined without losing its edge, unafraid to be different, and impossible to confuse with anything else. This is the room where the ordinary stops applying. This is where standards are set, not followed, and where premium stops being something that you chase and becomes something you embody. This is your permission slip to succeed your way. I'm your host, Yasmin, and this is The Premium Way. When it comes to premium, or when someone decides to make their brand more premium, the very first thing that comes to mind for everyone almost always are the aesthetics. But you have seen it and I have seen it. Some of the ugliest brands still sell out. Some of them have demand that absolutely outdoes and outperforms any aesthetically perfect premium brand that is lacking a very vital thing that these ugly brands aren't lacking. And that completely messes with the idea that aesthetics create demands. And in this episode, we want to dive into that. So let's take a moment to dive into the dynamic. You have decided your brand should be more premium. You want to elevate your brand into the premium realm. First thing to think about automatically, oh, we need new visuals, we need to rebrand, we need a shoot, or we got to come up with new perfect AI pictures or whatever it is. And the psychology behind is that people upgrade their visuals hoping demand follows automatically. But when we treat aesthetics like a cause, or the main, or the only cause, then something's missing. Because aesthetics are only an amplifier. Aesthetics don't make people decide. Aesthetics create entry, not decisions. They signal, ooh, this might be for me, or I see myself here, or I see my future version coming to life here, or this looks like a room I belong in. And I say, especially in my The Psychology of Premium Masterclass, if you haven't watched it yet, it's free. Go to the show notes, find the link, sign up, access it, and watch it. It is pure gold. In there, we also discuss what aesthetics are supposed to do. And aesthetics, to summarize it for you right here, right now, have the purpose of signaling to your dream clients or potential dream clients, this is where I will have my desires fulfilled, guaranteed. And I always go into this example of if you walk past a shop in the city or in a mall, you judge what awaits you inside of the shop based on the storefront. So if you see very casual clothing in the storefront, you wouldn't assume that in the back of the shop, you will find your perfect Met Gala ready, red carpet ready dream gown. And aesthetics work the same way. Aesthetics want to and should represent what I also find at the back of the store. It should be congruent. It shouldn't be a guessing game. But very often, your visuals communicate one thing. But inside of your store, aka behind the paywall, something so much better actually awaits your clients. And that is where so many people feel this dissonance between who they truly are and what they truly deliver versus what they are able to translate in their brand, especially in their brand aesthetics, so that the right clients even get that curiosity sparked, even feel that intrigue, even start considering them as a potential option, as a potential someone to work with. So in short, aesthetics open the door. They work at the level of curiosity, identification, and assumption of relevance. But they are not the sole demand or decision drivers. What creates decisions is authority paired with substance. And how do we know that then someone has and carries authority and substance? This is where aesthetics come into play, because they package the authority and substance adequately and appropriately, so it is visually translated, so someone can recognize that at first sight. And that is where my Love at First Sight brand concept is coming from. Because I work with so many, and I have worked with so many incredibly genius people, brands, founders, visionaries, creators, educators, thought leaders, and they all came with the same challenge. I am so genius, I am so brilliant, but somehow people don't recognize that at first sight. It either takes forever that they then build trust with me and my brand, or that trust or consideration is just never established. And that is because the actual depth and brilliance and genius of a person needs to be congruently, coherently translated into the aesthetic and visual packaging as well. It works hand in hand, okay? But then again, when that door of intrigue and curiosity and assumed relevance is opened, as in, ooh, your aesthetic landscape, your aesthetic branding has kind of intrigued me, and it might communicate you are the one for me, then I lean into your world. I'm inside your world, at least your free front-end world, and I'm reading your publications or your postings, listening to you, I'm observing, I'm evaluating. At that point, aesthetics, or more aesthetics, or even better aesthetics, stop carrying weight. They won't drive me any further. At that point, what the subconscious of an interested client, of a prospect, truly asks is that person clear? Do they lead me? Are they directional? Do they know something I don't? Can they hold me to a higher standard? Have they normalized what I am looking to normalize? Cue the last episode about the relatability trap and the relatability lie. And this is why ugly but authoritative brands win, because they hold the substance that many aesthetically pleasing brands don't come with, because they come with a nice packaging, but then hot air inside. And that is an abso-freaking-lute killer. And that is also the reason why I would highly suggest never only focusing on aesthetics or only starting with them, but making sure that aesthetics actually carry a functional purpose. And that functional purpose is translating, visually translating, because the subconscious speaks in images, not in words. Visually translating the genius that awaits me inside of your world, and the level and the standard. So an ugly brand that actually delivers clear orientation and direction, clarity, results, leadership, credibility, will always outdo the one that looks aesthetically pleasing but is lacking in these fields or characteristics. And again, it's not because aesthetics don't matter, but because they become rather irrelevant after entry. And sure, it's beautiful when I sign with you that a beautiful backend awaits me, but beauty alone doesn't do the job. Pretty privilege alone in branding might spark an initial curiosity, but it doesn't automatically translate into demand and money. So the best way to memorize this is the following sentence. Aesthetics get attention. Aesthetics get consideration. But authority gets commitment. Aesthetics attract interest. authority converts it. One without the other is never going to fulfill the complete and entire potential that a brand has, and that's why I'm big on both. Not either or, not this one or that one first, but a hand in hand, both parallelly working as a team. And that is what a premium brand is truly about. A premium brand is not just aesthetically pleasing. It is rich in authority and substance, credibility. It is rich in aesthetic meaning, not just aesthetics for the sake of aesthetics. And it is very, very rich in the right, intentionally designed, curated, and anchored associations. And this is another important topic that I want to touch on for the rest of this episode. Because this is where ugly brands fall flat very often, the associations piece. So pay careful attention to this before you now decide, oh, Yasmin has said aesthetics don't matter as much and authority is way more important. Because for longevity and actually a globalization of your brands and taking it to actual world-renowned level, here is why aesthetics still matter so much. As already briefly touched on, aesthetics matter at the level of identification. They answer questions like, do I see myself here? Does this feel like my world? Is this a room I would willingly step into? Does it represent who I am or who I am becoming? And that is very, very critical, especially that last point and part when it comes to representation. Because even if an ugly brand sells, even if they convert, that does not automatically mean that they are a brand you or someone wants to be associated with. And I'll speak out what the majority of people would never say out loud. There are brands that are deeply respected for their authority, for their results, for their clarity, and many would still not hire them. Many would still not collaborate with them. Many premium spaces would not invite them into the room as a guest expert or co-host. Not because they aren't successful, they are. We've covered that. But because association is not decided by results alone. So demand is not driven by aesthetics alone, but the right associations are not established by results alone. Association is decided by taste, by identity, by what something communicates about you simply by standing next to it. Think about a Birkin bag or any luxury item, a Rolex, a Chanel handbag. People don't buy it just because they're fancying spending six figures on a luxury item. They invest in it because it says and signals something about who they are, their status, their identity, and the access to room XYZ that they have. So this is where aesthetics come back into the picture, not as a demand lever, but as a curation mechanism. So authority makes people commit. We have covered that. Aesthetics decide who belongs and who wants to belong, who can see themselves belonging. So the way I want you to start thinking about premium from now on is to stop collapsing everything into one layer. Oh, it's about certain aesthetics. Oh, it's about high price tags. Oh, it is about XYZ. It's not one thing. Premium is a system, a well-oiled, well-rounded, and highly intentional machine. Authority creates trust, substance creates results, and aesthetics create association. You can have authority without aesthetics and still sell. We have covered that. But you cannot build a premium ecosystem collaborations, rooms, stages, reputation, and cultural relevance without visual mastery added into the picture. And that is why the real mistake is expecting aesthetics to do the job of authority. And then the opposite mistake is just as common: dismissing aesthetics because you've seen that ugly brands win. And you're like, feed up, we don't have to put in that much of an effort. And that in and of itself is already the wrong attitude to have and carry when it comes to premium. Listen to the very first episode if you haven't, or remember it, where I said premium is about absolute freaking lutely loving every single piece and part of the process. So if you're someone who wants to cut corners, get away with stuff, then the premium realm might just not be for you, and I'll be honest about it. So to seal all of this, the question is not and never, do aesthetics matter? Are they important? In what way are they important? The real question you should be asking is, what role are you asking aesthetics to play? Because aesthetics aren't here to ultimately convince. They are here to communicate. This is the level, this is the standard, this is the room. So you want to get clear on what function your aesthetics have fulfilled so far and what needs to change so your substance is packaged in an unmissable, authoritative way. Because once and for all, aesthetics do not replace authority. They give it a language, and premium brands are fluent in both.